Good morning. Thank you again for tuning in to Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and we thank you for taking the time and listening to our program this morning. Please continue to be a regular listener. Last week, we began a short series in the subject of the foundations of our faith. Today, we want to examine the second of those foundations. What is the major theme of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? Who is the central figure in all of its writings? John summed it up for us nicely in his gospel in John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life in his name. The scriptures are written to convince us of this fact, that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. And belief in this truth can lead one to eternal life and give us a deep and abiding faith in Him. We believe Him as our Savior, as the Son of God, the Son of Man, and we believe that He fulfilled the roles of prophet, priest, and king. He is our Savior, first of all. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, when man fell, God made a prophecy that He was going to send us a Redeemer. He was going to send one to defeat our adversary, Satan. Man's fall in the garden made this and man's first and greatest need. Broke fellowship between God and man. No true happiness in life could be expected without having fellowship with God. They knew, according to Genesis 3 and verse 7, the danger of their nakedness and sin was unleashed and increased the danger of temptation, according to verses 8 through 10. Fellowship was broken, just as God had promised them back in Genesis 2, 16 and 17. They were hiding from God, but such is foolishness. It cannot be done. What would restore this fellowship again? The promise of a Savior, enmity between the seed and the serpent. Satan bruised his head. The seed would bruise his heel. Moment of victory would be Satan when he was put to death. But Christ would overcome when he overcame the grave. Read Hebrews 2, 9 through 15. According to Genesis 12, 1 through 3, the promises made to the great patriarch Abraham, one of those promises was the seed promise that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. That fulfillment is found in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 through 29, and the spiritual seed of Abraham, that one seed is Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 53, in the prophecy on the suffering servant, it tells that we've all have gone astray, and our iniquity is in us all. But he bore our sins and our transgressions on the cross. He was the justification for our sin, and he was a lamb led to the slaughter, and yet he opened not his mouth. He bore our strife by his sin. We gained the benefit by the death that he died upon the cross. Sin breaks fellowship, and someone had to pay the price. Someone had to pay the ransom. It was going to be heaven or hell. What would be our eternal destiny? Separation from God for all eternity? No, God had a better plan, and that plan centered around the Savior, the one who gave his life for you and for me. Next, we know that he is the Son of God. In the first three verses of the Gospel of John, we know that the Word was God and that God was with God in the beginning. And God dwelt among us, according to John 1 and verse 14. Same divine nature as God the Father. His name would be Emmanuel in Matthew 1 verse 21, and that would mean God with us. No beginning, no ending, eternal nature. How was he before John the Baptist being born 6 months later? Because he was God. He was before John the Baptist. He was not created, but he created all things according to Colossians 1 verse 16 and Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. No man has seen God's face, but we have seen the Son. Read John 6 verse 46. And when we see him, we saw a glimpse of deity. Read John 14 verse 9. We can't see him, but one among us did, the Son of God. He declared to be God's only begotten Son, one of a kind, according to Philippians 2, 6-11. God is a spirit. There is no flesh and bones, John 4, verse 24. He took on the form and fashion of man in order to live and to die for the sins of mankind. Yet the second part of the Godhead took on flesh. The eternal visible spirit took up residence in a body of clay, according to John 3, 16 and 17. Why preach Christ and encourage men to obey him? That's very simple. You either believe in him or perish. Read John 8, verse 24. Not sent for judgment, but sent to save, to seek and save the lost, by his own words in Luke 19, verse 10. He also is the Son of Man. God's Son was fully man, flesh and bone, just like you and me, representing what we would be in the flesh. He came down from heaven, the Son of Man, who had his origin in heaven. He was lifted up on the cross, and he experienced death as all men die. The privileges and powers and prerogatives of deity were still his own in Mark chapter 2, verse 5 through 12. He was reasoning within themselves. How did Jesus know? Who had that power, power on earth to forgive sin? How could he heal them? John 9, verse 38 tells us that men worshipped him, but were to only worship God. But men worshipped and he received their worship. Jesus, yes, he was the Son of Man, but he was more than a man. The incarnation of God, a true Bible miracle. Our faith must believe, not understand, but believe, and be able to explain through the scripture that this miracle did indeed take place. 100% God, 100% man, the God-man, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Evidence is overpowering. He was in the flesh. He hungered. Matthew 4, verse 2. He showed feelings in Matthew 14 and verse 14. He wept over the death of Lazarus, John 11, verse 35. He got thirsty in John 4, verse 7. He felt pain as he was hung on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth, Matthew 27, verse 26. And he died on that cross, according to Matthew 27, verse 50. All of those things are human characteristics. And Hebrews 4:15 tells us he was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. Yes, he was God. Yes, he was God's Son. He was God with us. But he also was the Son of Man. What roles did he fulfill? Well, he was a prophet. It was prophesied by Moses in Deuteronomy 18:15-19 that one like Moses would be raised among his people, and they must hear him. And if they reject him, they will be cut off. John the Baptist was asked if he was that prophet in John chapter 1, and he correctly told them no, he wasn't. That was one that would come after him. In Acts chapter 3, in verse 19 through 24, the times of refreshing would bring salvation. And, according to verse 21 of that text, all prophets spoke of him, foretold of his coming and of his work, coming here, and then he was coming again, according to verse 24 through 26. The seed promise was tied to Christ, the last and great prophet to save us. No, it wasn't Muhammad. No, it wasn't Joseph Smith. It was Jesus Christ, the final one, the last spokesman for God. No one else. He was the prophet of Deuteronomy 18. And he is God's spokesperson today and the only one. Read Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 1 through 3. But he was more than a prophet. He also was our high priest. Now he was not a priest on earth. Why? Because he could not be, because he was of the tribe of Judah. And the priestly tribe of Aaron was of Levi. In Psalms chapter 110, verses 1 through 4, we see that he was a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a priest and king, as we read in Genesis chapter 14, verse 18 through 20. You see, Jesus was not of the priesthood of Aaron. He was of the priesthood of Melchizedek. No beginning, no ending. No priest before or after, like the Son of God. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 through 3, and then continuing in verse 11 through 17, If Jesus was to be a priest on earth, then the law would have to be changed because he was of the wrong tribe. But the law must be changed now to allow Christ to be our high priest and to give us an unchangeable, endless priesthood. And that the law has been changed. We now live under the law of Christ, and he is our high priest, and he will be in that position forever. He was made a priest by an oath, according to Hebrews 7, verse 20 through 26. And according to verse 27, he made a one-time sacrifice, one time for all time. According to Hebrews 8, he sits at the right hand of God. According to Hebrews 9, 11 through 13, he offered a better sacrifice in the most holy place itself, where he gained man eternal redemption. And that was by offering his blood after his ascension back to the Father. Please read Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, and Hebrews 9, verse 23 through 28. Is there another high priest? Buddha? Hindu? Roman Catholicism? Mormon? No. There's only one last priest, and it's Jesus Christ. Finally, he is also king. He's ruling and reigning over his subjects, Psalms 110, verse 1 and 2. He's a lawgiver out of Judah, according to prophecy, Genesis 49 and verse 10. His crown will flourish, according to Psalms 132, verse 11 through 18. The government rests on his shoulders, according to the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. And according to Daniel 7, verse 13 and 14, in his prophecy, at the time of his ascension, he was given glory, honor, dominion, and a kingdom. And according to Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 29 through 35, he sits on his throne of David, the spiritual throne of David, king after his defeating death, exalted at the right hand of God, and he is King of kings and Lord of lords, 1 Timothy 6, verse 15. And according to 1 Peter 3, verse 22, all are subject to him. Now, he was both prophet, priest, and king. He was Savior. He was the Son of Man. He was the Son of God. He fulfilled all prophecy. The evidence of his miracles, just read the gospel. No man could do the things that he did. Nicodemus understood that in John chapter 1 and 2. He understood that he could do nothing that he was doing except God be with him. The evidence of his miracles showed that he indeed was from God and not of man. And according to Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, he was declared to be the Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead. And by his death, burial, and resurrection, those are the foundation on which the whole gospel story is based, on wherein those who obey it can be saved. Now, dear listener, how sure is this foundation of our faith? Christ, with his Father in the beginning, sent to the earth as God's only Son, gave his life on the tree of Calvary, died, was raised from the dead on the third day, ascended back to his Father, received dominion, power, and a kingdom, and now reigns at the right hand of God, the head of his church, and the Savior of its body. What more evidence do you need? Yes, he is a sure foundation of our faith. Jesus Christ, our Savior, our King, our High Priest, and the Son of God. Yes. That's a sure foundation. Thank you for listening, and please tune in again next week as we will look at the next foundation of our faith, the Holy Spirit. Have a wonderful day, and come and visit.